Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 170.
What? It said one. It's not 170.
I was going to say, you just told me it's 170, and you were just about to re-correct me. So it's 170.
What do you think it is?
Well, it was 169 last week.
Your math is impeccable.
So if my calculations are correct, it's 170. We're getting fast to 200.
Should we do something for 200?
Why the hell not?
Livey again. Live out.
Well, let me just 1 second. Right. Hey, Siri, what's the day in 30 weeks' time? Ooh, September.
What date, though?
Tuesday the 12th of September.
Don't see why not.
Ryder Cup.
Little Friday, what would the Friday be? The 18th or something? Quick maths.
About a little Ryder Cup.
How do Ryder Cup it?
Hey, Siri, when's this year's Ryder Cup? Oh, it's Ryder Cup's end of September.
Yeah.
So I like, I don't know why Ryder Cup it, because let's be realistic, throughout this year, holidays, we might miss a couple of episodes.
Right.
200 episodes might be mid-September to end of September.
So when would the live one be?
Then.
End of September?
Yeah.
When the Ryder Cup's on?
Yeah.
You're not going to Ryder Cup
special. Yeah, we all are.
Well, how's that work then?
Everybody's coming.
Well, it's my birthday of the Ryder Cup weekend.
Oh, so you can't come.
You could fly my wife and child out as well then. Make a family trip of it.
I mean, everyone's there.
Look, people want a live podcast, so we'll do it.
Okay. If you want a live podcast to celebrate 200 episodes, was that a live one, 100 episodes?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that time has quite literally flown. If you want to see us do a 200 episode live, leave a comment down below.
And if you don't, also leave a comment down below. Just a yes, I do, or no, I don't.
Mad week in the world of golf again.
Yeah, today's an action-packed, jam-packed podcast episode. I think golf, professional golf, tour golf, is arguably in its strongest place it's been for a long, 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 long time.
I would agree.
And weirdly, I think part of that is down to Liv.
I'd agree.
Because PGA Tour have pulled up the socks. They're getting these bigger, better events where the big names, big boys are playing.
An elevated event.
100%. This weekend is one of them. We're going to come on to that in a little minute. But also, if you are a Liv fan, you've still got Liv. You can enjoy Liv. If you like both, great. You've got loads
of golf.
That's
back next week.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, because it feels like, weirdly, there's become this new kind of audience who are ultra live, which is great, that's fine. So they've got live. They might not want to watch PGA Tour, that's okay. You've got some people who are just pure PGA Tour, DP World Tour fans, that's okay. And then you've got other people who are a bit of a hybrid, who like watching both, which again is okay. So everyone's winning.
Do you feel, and I certainly have seen this in comments, do you feel you almost have to pick a side?
I feel like some people think you do.
Because so last week, I was very proud to do a live Instagram feed to announce the next player on the TGL, which is this new golf league coming out at the start of 2024. And it's effectively powered by PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. And you've got guys like Tiger, Rory,
Max Homer.
Obviously, the player Adam Scott. The player I got to announce was Matt Fitzpatrick. A lot of people, oh, you're all about PGA Tour. Well, I'm kind of not. I'm kind of open to all sides. I think both tours have got their strengths, but also both tours have got their weaknesses.
I think also that's comments on YouTube. When we've had discussions about this before, some people, weirdly, it's mad how polarized our one discussion people can take it. So some people come back and go, oh, you guys are just PGA Tour, that's all you care about. And other people go, oh, so you're behind Liv. Don't you know where the money comes from?
Yeah.
And it's like weird. It's like literally at the minute, I'm kind of, the only thing I'm definitely still more in favour of on the PGA Tour is like this weekend, again, we'll come on to it in a minute, but Scottie Scheffler won. He's back to world number one and he won a PGA Tour event. You look at that field, it was strong. It was phenomenal. Admittedly, there's guys who weren't playing that are live players that maybe would have made it even stronger. But ultimately, he has now won another PGA Tour win. Was it his fifth win now?
Yeah, because he won four last year. It was exactly 365 days since his first win.
Insane. So he has now got 5 PGA Tour titles to his name. I don't feel that yet about Liv.
No.
Because it's still so new. And that might come, you know, we might be sat here in 3, 4, 5 years' time and we're going, such a body has won 6 times on Liv. And it might feel huge. So that will come in time. But it's like anything, when you make something from scratch, it feels hard to really give it that. Well, you're not going to give it that history and prestige as much. So that's the one thing I still give Liv.
I would definitely
PGA Tour.
the PGA Tour has pulled up its socks.
100%.
Again, this event this week was the Waste Management Phoenix Open, one of the flagship events of the year, the calendar year. You've got the four majors, which obviously get the most attention. I would then say the Players' Championship at Sawgrass, and then probably Waste Management Phoenix Open. It's kind of like the wacky golf tournament.
There was a streaker.
There was a streaker who got arrested. I mean, ambitious, wasn't he? He got a long way.
Yeah.
Started on the 16th, all the way down to 17th, and got pulled out of the lake on the 18th and got arrested.
Fair play.
There wasn't as many... Was there a bit more crowd control this year? Because we talked about it last year on the podcast when Sam Ryder got his hole-in-one last year and everyone went crazy and chucking cans. And you had Joel... Harry Higgs. You had Harry Higgs and Joel Damon lifting the top up and the crowd were going wild. I only saw one crowd going wild this time round. Did you see it? It was Adam Hadwin when he nearly made a hole-in-one on the Saturday. The crowd went wild.
I actually watched a good chunk of the golf. Not every minute of every day, clearly, but I watched a good chunk. And it did feel like it was an excitable kind of vibe, but it was a bit more... behaved.
It must have been more policed, I feel, this year.
Maybe. Like you said, because the Super Bowl was on, whether people didn't go, maybe the more people that were up for just being on the lash went somewhere else. I don't know.
Maybe they just watered down the beer.
Good shout.
Maybe they just thought, you know what, we can't have these guys being as mental. The guy who slipped through the net was a streaker. Granted.
So I saw a tweet off you saying you want to go there one day.
Yeah, 100%.
You'd be an absolute nuisance, I think.
I'd be the worst.
Yeah.
I'd be throwing my can on the fairway if someone made a par.
I always give you two scenarios, right? You go to that event next year, okay? And you go as Rick Shields, right?
Yeah.
So you know that people, I know you're a bit conscious when you go out, that people might watch the videos, might be looking at you, might film you, whatever. So the first scenario I want to give me, you go to that event next year as Rick Shields, how sourced do you get in?
Well, I don't get sourced.
So not really. Yeah, but you have a couple of cans.
Oh yeah, of course. I'd be merry. You'd see Ricky come out. I would go, I'd get a bit of probably hospitality. I'd be in the posh seats, wouldn't I?
Yeah,
let's be honest.
You would.
I'd bucket sandwich I wouldn't be running from the crowd at 6 a.m. in the morning. I'd have a seat reserved for me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'd do it the posh way.
So how many drinks are we talking? Six.
Six or seven. Right, yeah.
Okay. You then go the same time, but for some reason you'd be able to get like this. You can change your face, right? So no one knows it's you. And you can be the real Ricky. God. Now talk to me.
Seriously. I would genuinely love to do it. I would be there first in the queue at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
Already cracking open my first Stella.
Yeah. Okay. Would.
And I'd have a can at least every 30 minutes on the 30 minutes until 6 a.m. when the gates open.
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, I'm already gone.
Bladdered.
I've already got eight cans in me. It's then a race to the 16th.
You've got a bit of pace in you as well, stand. To be fair. You're faster than people think you
are. Don't forget how fast you think you run when you're drunk.
Yeah.
You ever done that after a night out? You're so fast.
Yeah.
So I'd be going, gates would open, and I would be off, and I'd be full American mode, giving it the old, way, you know, man, let's go. I'd be legging it to the 16th. I'd probably be fatigued. I'd probably shotgun another Stella can, you know, for energy. I don't know why Stella.
By the way, don't forget, I've seen you trying to shotgun a drink before, and it wasn't pretty.
That's true. I'd be better in America. I would be bombing it to 16th. I'd be front row center. Just loving life. I would be a pest.
You're a real pest.
I'd have to have some sort of mechanism so that I could go to the toilet without leaving my seat.
Your pants.
A nappy.
A diaper.
I would be there for the long haul. I would make friends with everybody. I would have started the
snake.
No.
You'd be thinking your friends, everybody. Like, who's he come with? You're that weird lad. You see this on night out. There's that weird lad who's got no mates. He's like, who are you with? You're just That'd with everyone.
I'd have one of those hats with the two cans and the straws coming down. I'd be the guy doing the snake, you know, the bottle snake. I'd be the guy starting that. I would be the life and soul of the party, or that is what I would think.
Yeah.
I would probably be then woken up at maybe 10 to 12 at night. hey, sir, you've got to leave now. And I've somehow handcuffed myself to my seat. I'm probably being arrested. I'm probably being escorted out and probably banned from every PGA Tour event. And
that's the real Rick Shields that no one gets to see.
I miss him.
Miss
him? I miss him. I wish he could come back. Well, there was a weird... Did you see the clip that the PGA Tour posted about... Matt Fitzpatrick, and is it Larry Fitzpatrick who's an NFL player?
Ah, okay. I didn't see this.
going round in disguise at the waste management.
Oh, that's quite cool.
It could have been.
Was it not?
I thought the disguises were pretty awful. Like, they were. It disguised who they were, but you could tell they were disguised.
Yes, I know what you're saying. Very fake face.
Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, when you get the prosthetic faces,
yeah.
That's pretty cool. This was basically just a beard and some glasses and a hat. So it was a bit, yeah, it was a
bit. Maybe you could shave your beard off.
Maybe.
What would it take you to shave your beard off?
That's quite an open question, loaded question. I don't really know.
No, but would it ever happen?
What is it, a monetary value or an opportunity?
Okay.
Go.
Just the money they said that then. Okay. So,
right, is it either there's a sum of money to shave your beard off?
Both. Okay. So
Gillette.
Oh, okay. We'll give it
Gillette,
to charity. Was it to you? Both, then, is
Gillette,
it the same?
Gillette come in. Well, there's actually a number of questions around this.
Okay.
I've thought about this, probably.
Why have you thought about it?
Just in case this scenario ever pops up. If it was just a one-off, right, shave it for charity.
Whipping it off.
Yeah, straight off. Money to charity, happy
But you can't
days.
Go in hiding after it. You've got to carry on as normal.
But it only take a week and I'll be Fair back. Enough. If it was to stay constantly clean-shaven...
Ah, that's a different kettle of fish.
Very different. The money comes to me.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Now, a weekly retainer of $4,000 a week, so I've no
just to have a shave.
Yeah.
So if Gillette wanted to come in and wanted me to be clean-shaven, I would obviously lose subscribers.
Mention Gillette a lot here. Have you got a little thing that you sleep with Gillette?
Well, I'm just thinking...
Wilkinson Sword.
Yeah, there's not many brands that would want me to be clean-shaven.
No, true. Nivea.
So that side.
Yep.
Or... For whatever weird reason, Tiger says, I've always wanted to film with Rick, but I just can't film with him with that masculine beard.
I have had a few people say that about you. They would film with you, but the beard's just a big no. Few have said that. Rory said that.
So if that was the case, if it was an opportunity, then obviously I'd shave it off. If it was for Tiger.
You can play Augusta.
Yeah.
No cameras, but you can play Augusta, but no beard.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
Any others?
Join the RNA. No beard forever, but you can be a member of the RNA forever.
No. Can I have a tash?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can have whatever you want, really.
Anyway, off topic.
Anyway, so Scottie Scheffler won.
Yeah.
He is now world number one. We are in this, well, we're in this good place in golf because two things. Firstly, the PGA Tour and LIV are both existent at the moment. We're worried about that. It feels like they're going to do their own thing and there's more golf for everyone to watch. Great. Also, we have got, well, first thing we missed off, Tiger Woods is back. This week, Tiger Woods will be teeing it up at the Genesis. Super exciting. He's not played competitively since the Open, so let's see how he gets on. Very good for golf. People talk about it. The other thing I can say, I'm a huge Tiger fan. If you listen to this podcast, watch his videos, you know that me and Rick, we're huge Tiger fans. However, this kind of time of year or whenever when Tiger does come back, I can understand why people that don't like Tiger, for whatever reason, get a bit annoyed because there'll be so much spotlight around him playing. And even if he plays terribly, he'll be featured all the time. So my heart goes out to those non-Tiger fans. I'm a huge Tiger fan. What are you looking
at? I feel like if you're a non-Tiger fan, I don't know what value you get out of this podcast.
Beard talk.
Yeah. Done it.
Cheers, Gillette.
Tiger coming back is really exciting. It shows he's obviously wanting to and capable of competing again this year. Mm-hmm. He's obviously completely and utterly putting his schedule around major tournaments.
Absolutely.
But Riviera, the Genesis, is his event. He's the host of it, isn't he? So, and if you remember correctly, it was exactly 2 years ago, straight after the Genesis, when he had his car crash.
Yeah.
It was literally that following week. So it's great to have him back. It's great to see how he's going to compete. I'm not expecting the world, but if he can win by 10, I think that's a realistic expectation. But you're right. You know what? Going back one more stage quickly, I found it interesting watching the golf on Sunday, Waste Management, because the top of the leaderboard was stacked with household names.
Well, so this is one thing I want to come on to. So at the minute, we've got this top three in the world who are insane. We've got now Scottie Scheffler is world number one, and rightly so. He's insane. Rory has gone down to number two, and then John Rahm's at number three. And what's insane with that is, I keep saying insane a lot, but it's insane. Those three golfers on the day are the best in the world. So I almost can't comprehend if those three play well in one tournament, who wins? Like, I actually don't know. Obviously with Tiger in his day, when he was on, nobody could compete. When he was off, most people couldn't compete. if Scottie Scheffler's on, no one beats him. If Rory's on, nobody beats him. And if John Rahm's on, nobody beats him. So what happens when they, if they come to the Masters this year and all three of them play the lights out, which might not happen, but if they do, who wins?
You know what's really interesting though, when you look at those three golfers, you're right, when they're at the peak, you almost can't imagine anyone beating them. But they're such different golfers, aren't they? Scottie Scheffler isn't as long as Rahm and Rory. He's not short by any stretch.
He gets out there still,
he's not as long. For me, Scotty just doesn't make mistakes.
He really, that putt on 16 for the par, he just, so I saw online, people saying he's a bit like Spieth, he just grinds it out.
Well, he didn't drop a shot in the last, I think it was 21 holes of the tournament. How do you beat that?
Yeah.
And he still goes and shoots whatever he shot yesterday, 5 or 6 under. So it's not, he just doesn't make mistakes. Rory, on the other hand, we've seen it from history. Mm-hmm. He's an unbelievable golfer without question. And when he's on fire, you can't imagine anyone beating him. But we've seen him throw away leads.
Yep.
We've seen him come back and win. Mm-hmm. And John Rahm, for me, John Rahm's probably of the actual three golfers mentioned there, the one I would expect.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
To win more often, because he doesn't make ridiculous amounts of mistakes and he makes outrageous amount of birdies.
Yeah.
So
he's hot right now. I mean, out of those three, who would you say, if they played on fire, who would you say would win? Rory?
No, I think Rahm.
Rahm.
I think if they all played each other 10 times over, just those three, my guess, and I might be wrong, statistics might prove me wrong on this, I genuinely feel like Rahm would win more times.
Right. What was interesting, you said then the leaderboard was stacked. There was a tweet I saw before from Dan Rappaport, who's from 4Play, who we know, who's doing great things for them, and he's a golf journalist. He was actually on, the Full Swing documentary. His tweet was this: world number 233, Nick Taylor, played in the final group of the craziest tournament of the year with two of the top three players in the world and shot 65. He beat Rahm by 3, tied Scotty, solo second, and $2.18 million dollars, extremely well earned. The PGA Tour is so, so deep. When you think about that, it just shows, doesn't it?
What world ranking is it?
Well, he was 233.
Oh, my God.
And I'm guessing now, have a quick look, he'll have skyrocketed after that.
The only thing that I must admit, I felt like he was going to fall away at some point in that final
73
group.
73 is now.
Wow. In that final group playing with those two, I definitely thought he was going to fall away. But I love seeing Jason Day up there.
Yes.
Jason Day became tied fifth. Love seeing Ricky up there, holding one on the last day as well, which is amazing. Love seeing him back up there, kind of almost competing. It's great to see some of these guys who, to their own admission, had fallen off a little bit but kind of rebuilt their kind of presence back on tour, which has been great. And maybe you'd even think potentially the absence of live players might have either spurred them on or helped them get back to where they're up on that leaderboard again, you know. I think the money in all of golf at the moment is the only thing that's kind of putting me off a little bit. Mm. I know the PGA Tour don't overly advertise the fact that they're making this much money, but $3.6 million for first place.
Yeah, I think it's a weird one. I think for the audience, it doesn't matter.
No.
You know, you don't care what they take home, but I suppose it matters to those guys from the turn up and play.
I just worry, because I've seen it a little bit, certainly with the introduction again of Liv, and sorry for all the comparisons today, but I think it's a fitting time to do so. The big story with Liv is money, from where mm-hmm. it's coming from to also how much the players are earning.
Yeah,
the PGA Tour, for me, has never been about that. As it's not with the Open or the Masters, it's never been about the money. I just worry with these elevated events and these extra purses, is it almost going to be talked about a little bit more? I mean, maybe I'm getting a bit guilty here. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about it right now. I just don't want our sport to ever come across as being kind of greedy.
I think that's the problem with elite sport, isn't it? Footballers just go wherever the money is. Ronaldo's gone to Saudi Arabia, clearly for money. I think it is a narrative. I think people do talk about it. But I think you can kind of get past it. When you're watching a player play a PGA Tour event and going on to win, you're thinking more about how well they've played and what it means to them to either get the first win or the second win or another win if they've already got several already. I think it really built this great narrative right now of all these great golfers playing so well. Like when the Masters comes, I don't even know how much they play for, and it doesn't matter. It's about the green jacket, save for the Open, the Claret Jug, etc. So you're right, it can leave a bit of a sour taste in your mouth, but I think most people just know that golfers play for money, and that's just
it. It's not so much a sour taste in my mouth. From a personal standpoint, I believe they're worth this value. Like I believe if they want to earn $10 million, it's just, even just a few tweets and things today that I've seen, I'm noticing media outside of the world of golf talking about the money.
Yeah.
And I don't want that message to get kind of too, I don't know, spread really.
Well, speaking of playing for money, we don't play for money. We have just, if you've not seen Break 75 from last week, there are a couple of spoilers in here, but I'm sure a lot of you listening and watching have watched it already. It's done really nicely, which is great. Thanks for your support on that. We played at my definitely top three courses. I think it's probably top one, but top three, Wallasey. You played very nicely. We were joined by James Robinson. James is a lovely lad. We didn't even need him. He's there as the best player. You played really well. Maybe James spurred you on to actually play so well. I don't know. Watching him.
To be honest,
is that something, actually, by the way? You get in the comments sometimes when you play with a good golfer and you do play well, people go, oh, that helped you. But does it?
I quite like playing with a good golfer who doesn't intimidate me.
Okay.
So, for example, I don't particularly think I play well when I've played against some of these tour players.
Mm.
Because, well, one, maybe because it's a bit of a challenge, but also I feel a bit intimidated by Westwood or Fleetwood or Adam Scott or Ricky Fowler that just don't embarrass yourself now, yeah. Rick. Where someone maybe of not obviously a good player, someone like a James Robinson or Iona or that kind of type of character, they're good players, but I don't feel embarrassed if they hit a bad shot.
Yeah,
you know. But I don't, to be honest, I don't really mind who I really play with.
I was gonna say that because
it does help. It does to some degree. It gives me maybe a bit like when you're running a race. It gives you a what they called pace setter.
Yeah, I do agree with that to some degree. If you do use that analogy of a race, then you can clearly see where that person is at. So you need to try and run level with them to do a certain time. But you never purposely try and play bad golf. Every golfer, when you go out, no matter how well we play, we're trying to get the ball in the hole in the least amount of strokes possible. Suppose playing with a good golfer, it can maybe, I don't know, maybe almost copy them without even knowing you're copying them. Not in terms of, how they are. Like when I play with James, I see him hit great shots. I just can't do that to watch him doing it. I can't just copy him. But I can learn from how he's approaching things, or even club selections and things like that.
I mean, I suppose I should be asking you the question. I mean, you've been fortunate.
When I played with Peter Finch a
couple
of times.
You've been fortunate to play with me many, many times now.
Yeah.
And I would say that's partly due to your success. Not the fact of how many golf balls you hit the range or the hard work and practice you put in. Just quite simply because you've been mirroring my incredible mannerisms.
Can't chip and got a snap hook.
You could have done with a snap hook at Wallasey.
Well, yeah. So Wallasey, you shot one under.
Yeah.
You did very, very nicely. Your driving off the tee was just very solid. And I feel like you're the kind of golfer when we play. When you play bad, it can be bad, right? When you play well, I actually can't really see you missing a fairway.
No.
There's always that chance of a bit of a fatty chip in there, but you get your putter out a bit more, so it's not the end of the world. But you can be on when you're on.
I feel like when I'm playing well, if I get through halfway playing well, I never think, oh, I need to hold on. If I'm playing well at 9, I'm like, well, let's just continue. Or let's even try and do better than that.
Yeah.
Where if I'm playing bad to halfway, it can snowball and go really bad. But also sometimes that halfway point, I can reset and go, right, let's make sure the back 9's better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes my bad rounds can kind of just snowball and I can almost never get off this kind of...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, my head goes and my confidence goes and everything else. But when my confidence is high, I just think I'm going to play good golf.
No, it was a good video and, yeah, I wasn't on with my driver. Lost 4 balls in 3 holes.
It was impressive.
Which was frustrating. You know what's the worst part? I watched it back the other day a little bit and I looked at those holes. And what I can't believe is on each of the holes, you can literally hit it as far left as you want. There's literally no, you could go 800 yards almost, there's no danger. So I looked at that and thought, that's what I need to take from my own game. And probably people listening could take some little bit of advice from this. Sometimes you've got holes where there's out of bounds left, water right. It's hard. It's a tough hole. You have to hit it straight. And if you don't, there's consequences for that. But when you've got out of bounds on a hole, which I did on 3 consecutive holes, all down the right, and it's wind off the left as well. If you've got room left, which we did have, there's no excuse for that, is there at all?
You've got to be confident. Pick your line up the left-hand side and hit towards that line.
Aim 10 yards further left than that. Yeah. Like if you know, it's going to make your second shot in maybe a bit longer. But if you know there's no... I mean, yeah, I'm really annoyed at that because I feel like I should know better. And I remember one of the things that I heard in a podcast that was from Steve Williams, who was Tiger Woods' ex-caddy very famously. He said that Tiger had some of the most wayward shots in the locker occasionally, but he'd always make sure if he was going to hit a bad one, it would be on the right side, if that makes sense. Not physically the right, side. But the correct side, yeah. I think we should learn more from that, because it's inexcusable.
The thing is, for you, it was a weird one, because it was that fourth hole, the par 4, or fifth hole.
Yeah.
Where it was downwind, drivable green, and you actually just blocked it.
Yeah.
And that obviously found trouble. It then... The next 2 or 3 holes, that kind of spiraled into much more push, of a slice.
Push slices, they were.
So for me, if you'd have hit an okay tee shot on that hole, I don't think that trend would have happened for the next couple of holes.
Well, and that was something else. Obviously, people it was part of the video. I was going to say eagle-eyed viewers. It was part of the video. I played the front 9 with the Ping G430.
Super forgiving, right?
Super forgiving, yes. And for whatever reason, now, I wasn't trying to blame... I saw a couple of comments, people saying, oh, bad work, I'm trying to blame his tools. I wasn't really blaming the tools. It was, for me, I knew I'd hit bad shots with those drives. There's no ifs and buts, and, you know, no golf club's a magic wand or whatever. But that head, for me, felt it was more fadey from a heel shot. Now, when you heel a golf shot, it's going to typically fade. But for that head, for whatever reason, I felt like it faded more. Swapped back to my 1 after 9, saw a bit more success. But it was funny that there was comments on the video from a number of people, not many, a small number, saying, oh, well, that's illegal and stuff. And it's like...
DQ.
Don't get me wrong.
You're disqualified Break 75s.
There's rules of golf, right? And that's fine. And if I was playing a golf comp, you've got to stick to the rules of golf.
You do.
If we're playing what is relatively a fun game of golf and after 9 holes, I'll swap my driver. It's not the end of the world. Like, I can't believe that's what people take from the videos. They don't say, oh, you know, you've hit 2 out of bounds and at your 3rd one, you know, you could have edited that out. You could have made it your first one was in. It's like, we're playing so openly and honestly, and I swap my driver, and that's the thing that people get hung up on.
I wouldn't, yeah.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
It's a compliment for what people notice.
But on that, though...
They're very much invested in the video.
That's good, I suppose. But what's arguably even more exciting, this Friday, 4 p.m, Rick Shields... He's on YouTube. It's a video of you playing Royal Liverpool, the the host of the 151st Open this year. You go there, break 75, with the claret jug. Explain.
Well, it was you and me.
It was you and me. It was me and you.
Royal Liverpool will be the home of golf for a week or so in the middle of July this year.
Yes.
And it's crazy when you... Anytime you get to play an open venue, it's special. Whenever you get to play an open venue the year of the Open, it's really special. Mm-hmm. Royal Liverpool is a golf course that's over the years has grown on me.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. I'm not the first person to say that. I know you probably think that as well. It's one of those ones that you probably need to play a couple of times to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful setting, a wonderful golf course. There's been some real nice alterations. The new 17th hole, which is really dinky little par three.
I love it.
It's going to cause issues.
It's a Marmite hole.
Yeah.
And I'm on the love it side.
I love it as well. I've played it most of the time well so far. Only one time it caught me out a little bit, which might be this Friday. Find out soon. So yeah, we did a break 75, and it was a collaboration with the Open themselves and the One Club, yeah, brought to you by MasterCard. Now, as Guy mentioned, we got a few extra cameras of support from the Open. So like some of the shots you see on real TV, we can have some ball tracking cameras, which elevates the content. The claret jug is there on site. There's some banners up there. There's open. I actually get a caddy.
You do?
An Neil. Open a Neil from actual Real Hoylake Neil himself. And it was just a really, really good experience. The golf course is demanding. It's tough. It tests every single part of your game. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the hardest driving open venues I've played.
Yeah, in parts.
Probably Carnoustie might just be harder for driving. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Royal Liverpool, you've got to be accurate and long off the tee.
I think it'll be harder for the guys in the Open when the rough's up. We had a few 100%. Holes, obviously. That's the thing, when you're playing these open courses, and if you're ever lucky enough to do so, you don't always see them in the true reflection, because we typically would get it in slightly smaller, shorter rough, a bit more friendly. Obviously not always off the fully, fully back tees. And it's still hard.
I think the difference, though, between July and now is the July ground condition will be harder.
Yeah, that's true.
You can actually interpret that two ways. Yeah. You'll probably hit it longer off the tee. Yeah. Like Tiger, when he won there, famously hit one driver shot and that was it. So you get a bit of that. But then the benefit of playing this time of year, when you land it into green, the ball will stop.
Yeah.
You do that in the summer, and the ball's off the back of the green. You've got to land it short and roll it up and take the contours. It's a different way of thinking.
Well, it should be. Hopefully people think it's a good video, but there's a couple of extra bonus things as well. I'm going to tell our kind of hardcore podcast listeners. So firstly, the video was out on Friday. So hopefully you will watch it and you'll enjoy it. Now, within that video, there's a giveaway that I think is really, really good. So you can't enter now, obviously, but you can on Friday within the video. So there'll be more insight into that in the video, which will let you know what is up for grabs. There's a pair of official patron hospitality tickets to the 151st Open, courtesy of MasterCard. So first of all, if you win this giveaway, you go into the Open with a friend. That's pretty cool. Secondly, and arguably even better, a round of golf at the iconic Royal Liverpool for you and a friend. Wow. Pretty exciting.
Not me and a friend. No. That's the winner.
The
and a
winner
friend.
And a friend. 150th Open pin flag signed by the Open champion, Cameron Smith, which is pretty cool. And a free box of limited edition 150th Open Titleist Pro V1s, which, let's be honest, you might need.
You will need.
So that is a super exciting giveaway. I think it's a really good one. I mean, you know, we're lucky. We've been to many an Open, and we'll be going to that one as well. We might see the winner there, the competition winner there. But going to the Open is special. And playing the golf course as well, you know, is really special. So that's exciting. But also, a bit more kind of extra stuff we've got with the Open and with the One Club is that today, Tuesday, around 12 p.m. lunchtime, so it should be out now when you're watching this or maybe when you listen to this, we also recorded a very different video, something that I think people listening to this podcast might well be interested in. Hopefully they are. We filmed, with the Open, a behind the scenes of Break 75.
So you find out what we really shoot. No, I'm joking. This was a more behind the scenes of kind of the operation of filming a Break 75, from us arriving to meeting some of the guys in the actual clubhouse. I'm not going to give too much away. And also a bit of a behind the scenes of out filming. So sign up to the One Club. You get access to that video. It's really cool. It's like, it's not super long. It's like 5 minutes long, but it's packed full of information that I don't think many of you would know. And again, a lot of hardcore viewers who certainly love Break 75 would love to find out.
Yeah, so that's it. So if you want to watch that, it's exclusively on the One Club website. So the link in the description of this either audio podcast or video podcast, the top line will be the link. You can sign up. It's completely free to do. And the One Club is the Open's kind of platform for like extra nuggets of content, exclusive content. So it's really good. Obviously, we're members of Abin for ages. So join up to that. And you'll watch that video. It's a bit more, again, if you listen to this podcast, I imagine you're fans of Break 75. It's quite a cool, unique look at it's what really goes on out there. And you see some of the camera lads. Harry's on there quite a bit, flexing, holding the camera.
Yeah, Tim's there.
Matt there? Was Matt there?
Was Matt there?
Were you there, Matt? He was there. I don't think he's in the shot much, though, is he?
He is the shot.
Yeah.
But it's not like Matt.
Matt's not happy that last week when Harry did the podcast, Harry got a few shouts out, so Matt didn't get his name mentioned, so...
Matt. Producer Matt was in Belfast having a whale of a time drinking loads of Guinness, so yeah. That's why he wasn't in the podcast.
So it's exciting. There's lots coming.
I've got a quick question for you before we go on to anything else.
It is really big, isn't it?
Totally legal.
Yeah.
Obviously. You've now got access to watching Full Swing.
Yes. No, I think it's okay that it's allowed to because... It's media.
Work,
yeah.
Of course.
So last week you mentioned that you've been watching Full Swing already, early access, the Netflix documentary. And when we finished the podcast, you very kindly said, if you want to watch it, you can watch it on my device. So I watched it. I think I've got one left. I've really enjoyed it. Obviously, I think it's come out the 16th for this month.
I think it's the
16th, is it not?
Couple of days? 15th.
Well, 15th. So it's out literally in a couple of days. So everybody then, I'm sure, who's got Netflix, which seems to be most people, you can watch it.
Today?
No, it's not today. I don't think it's today. It might be.
Anyway,
I really enjoyed it. There was parts that I would have liked to see a little bit more of, but that's always the case. If you give people something like you always want a bit more. So the big thing I took away from it was seeing the tour golfers behind the scenes. So one thing I really enjoyed was the morning of the US Open when Matt Fitzpatrick won. You actually saw him in the accommodation he was staying in with his family, kind of sat there, kind of chilling the morning of the event, which he went on to win, and it was insane. So that was unbelievable. And then when he won it, you saw a little bit of footage afterwards, like not much. I would have loved to have seen more. I would have loved the cameras to go home with him that night and see what, it sounds bizarre, what he has for tea, what they do, does he get drunk, how he celebrates the night. I suppose there has to be a limit with these things, though.
Well, did you hear John Rahm, I think, embarrassingly say when he became world number one, whenever it was last year, that's when he conceived his baby.
Yes, I did.
So I think there's probably limits to how much...
Well, maybe. I suppose if it's an absolute one-on-one personal documentary and you let those cameras into your life, you probably sign up for very intense filming. For this, it was kind of like, yeah, we'll do it, but there's kind of obviously a limit. But yeah, overall, it was really good. I wouldn't... After what we said last week when you'd watched it and you said you can't imagine people would now become massive fans of golf, I kind of agree with you a bit more now after seeing it. I do think you could buy into people. So I've now become an even bigger fan of Tony Finau. What an amazing guy.
Best.
I've become a fan of Joel Darman, who I'll be honest, didn't know much about. I knew obviously a little bit about him, but didn't know his story about having cancer and things like that. His mum passing away. And I love how, with Joel, so many of these golfers are super ambitious. And I suppose you have to be. To get on the PGA Tour at any level and be competing, you have to be competitive, you have to be motivated. He's got this really different, relaxed out, this kind of outlook that, well, someone's got to be world number 70. You know, I'm not as good as the top 10 guys.
Yeah.
But I liked it. It was refreshing to see, actually.
Well, let's not give too much more away, because I think that's a nice little insight. And genuinely, I would recommend people to, if you've got Netflix, to watch it.
Yeah,
And that's not a plug. This wasn't anything that was kind of, you know, needed to. I think if you're into golf, I think you'll really enjoy the Full Swing documentary.
Absolutely. So we've got some good questions this week. We normally post the questions on our Facebook group, the amazing Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group. Is it amazing?
Most of the time. There's a few plonkers in there.
Yeah, there's a couple.
I think...
Not many.
Now we've got Ian, the secretary.
Yes.
And Brenda. Barbara.
Barbara. Oh, what's that? Well, what? I feel bad here. What's her name, Matt? No, it's not Donna, is it?
I think it is.
Is it Donna?
Donna.
That sounds wrong. I feel like I should know this. I'm going to have to check.
We should know her. She's on our payroll.
Is it Donna? I'm sure it's
Donna. Anyway, now we've got Ian and Donna. I also feel like we need someone to play as security.
Okay. Night Watchman.
I'm seeing a...
Brenda. Did you say Brenda?
I thought it was Brenda or Barbara or Donna.
Oh, I feel like I'm really forgetting now. feel like I can't continue until I find this out.
Anyway, I've got a new character.
Go on.
And I think this character is going to cut out the riffraff that sometimes happens in the group.
Doreen. There'll be people in the car screaming, it's Doreen, you invented it, you weirdos. So right, we've got Doreen, right, I can relax now. I got really frustrated then. We've got Doreen.
Ian, secretary.
Ian's a secretary.
Lots of great pictures in the group last time.
Yes. So who's this now?
It's a doorman. Okay. And you might have
golf
listened.
Golf clubs have doorman.
This one does.
Okay.
Does this golf club like any other golf club?
That's very true.
You might have listened to every single episode. Yeah. Okay.
I've not, but that's another story for another day.
You might be allowed access to the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. But I do think we need a security guard for a few plonkers. Mm. You know, just a few that just...
There is a couple.
Yeah. Baz.
Baz.
Okay.
He has to be bald.
Ex-military.
Yep.
Okay. You wouldn't mess with Baz.
Okay.
All right. He likes his golf, he does, but he's terrible. He's off like, I don't want to say, just in case I offend anyone listening.
Doesn't have a handicap.
He's got a really, really short backswing.
But fast.
Because he's a big guy.
Short and fast.
So he can't swing too far
he
back.
He can John Rahm.
He can John Rahm. Mm. Loves playing in the buggy. Okay. Always nips in the pro shop. We've not come up with our pro shop characters just yet.
It's coming.
We'll come to that.
Jason.
But so Baz, you know, he loves his golf. He does the job mainly because he likes the authority.
You know one thing that Baz does that no one dares criticise? He wears two gloves.
Yeah, of course he does.
And it looks
with cut out fingers. Oh, on the golf course.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that it doesn't look great, but you don't really want to tell him.
Nobody's going to tell
Baz. I don't think
Baz.
He knows why he does it. And he just does. Mac wets he wears.
So he loves the authority, but he mainly does the job because he gets free golf at the golf club.
How old is he?
He's retired, but you still won't mess with him.
I think he's younger. I think he's 52, okay? But he retired, but he doesn't say why he retired from doing what he was doing before.
Yes.
He's 52, but he's actually got a daughter who's like 36. He had a daughter very, very young.
Right.
And she's got kids.
Of course.
And he sees them a lot and looks after them a lot. They really look up to the granddad.
Yeah, Baz. Granddad Baz.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A new factual
character for the clubhouse. So, pictures welcome.
Pictures in the group. However, I do want to see pictures. There comes a cut-off point. So, if you don't put them on in like the first day or two, we kind of can't keep accepting them because it gets a bit overkill.
If anybody has got a picture together of Ian, Doreen and Baz... It's not photoshopped. If anyone's got a picture of all three of them, you win this week's award.
Very good.
You get your plaque and your name put up in the clubhouse.
Well, after all of that, and I agree with all of what you've just said, we didn't use the group this week for questions. We actually used Twitter.
Because there was a few too many plonkers in
no,
there
No, it was
week.
Just because I don't want to mix it up a little bit. So not everybody uses Facebook. Some people have very much a Mark Zuckerberg agenda. So I went to Twitter. So if you don't like Elon Musk, I apologise. Maybe next week we'll try... Where could we try?
MySpace.
Yeah, but what Tom? Remember MySpace, Tom?
Remember
him? You have to be his friend.
Friends,
yeah. Of course you are. Right, so bit of a scattering of questions. Is my laptop okay there, Matt? You can't see anything? Good. So this is from Tom Mc. The only problem is actually with Twitter, you don't always get people's full names. So if I don't say your full name, because I don't know it, Tom Mc.
Quick one.
Go on.
Sorry, what's happened to Dear Rick?
There's some coming, but there's not been the best email. So basically, the podcast email, we're getting a lot of emails every day. A lot of them are just spam. So I think because every week we read out our podcast email, it's getting bombarded by spammers.
We need the IT.
I do read everyone, the good ones I pass on to you.
Even all the spam emails.
But yeah, so for example, one from Esmond Montgomery. Hello, I am the manager of Ozobo Studio. Studio SAS is a French video game developer based in Bordeaux and founded in 2002. Our studio is interested in your YouTube channel. Please reply me and I will tell you more about collaboration.
Done.
There you go. That's listener of the week. This week. What happens to listener of the week? We just kind of keep it vibing. Sometimes we have Derek, sometimes we don't.
What about VIPs? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
what was he
Derek
called?
Chan.
Derek Chan. Anyway, I bet he doesn't listen anymore.
I think he does.
He doesn't.
I think he does. I think a lot of people listen. I think what happens with the podcast is, which I like and don't like, some people become big fans, which I really appreciate. We love everyone listening and commenting. And people like find it, and they see there's quite a lot of episodes. They get really into it and probably binge them in the car for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, and become like, this is the best thing ever. They join the group, they're active. You start to see the name popping up and down. And then they realise that there's more to life than us talking nonsense.
The thing is, to those people, Darrick Chan might be quite a fresh name in their brain.
Oh, you know, I've really forgot. The young lad that was the real, oh my days, the proper, the real first ever listener of the week.
Was it Tom?
No, oh, that's going to annoy me, that.
Again, people
to be fair, it's been a long time, hasn't it? Oh, I nearly had him. Do you remember how much before Matt's time? Sorry, this is probably not very good if you're new to the podcast. So anyway, back to the questions. Tom Mick has said, has Rick ever considered being based in America, given the audience viewership, accessibility to professionals, year-round weather, etc.?
Yes.
Elaborate. What's happening, Rick?
So
I've Ed Brown. Sorry, Ed Brown. I won't listen to anything
you
said.
Where did you pull that from?
Ed Brown, if you're still listening to the podcast, I think you follow me on Instagram, DM me and say, yep, yeah, I do. If you don't, I won't hear from you.
Going back to America, yeah, definitely. It's what? Crossed my mind. So I think
but not
it's
now.
Probably time to tell you, Guy, that pack your bags, off we go. Don't put that in.
Mute that.
We're off to Jupiter.
Florida.
No, to be honest, I've loved going out there a couple of times this last few months, and it is an amazing place, but I love home. There's no place like home.
Yeah.
But I think with opportunities going out there, I would not rule it out in the future, potentially doing a few months out there and then coming home.
Wow.
Certainly through the winter. It's very nice over there in the winter.
Calvin Moynihan has said, and I've picked this one specifically, have you guys any plans to come to Ireland for a break 75? If so, what courses would take your first preference?
We are talking to many different golf courses in Ireland right now.
They all keep saying no.
We might. There's three possible filming trips in Ireland this week.
Going on Monday on EasyJet, come back Tuesday, have a night at home.
I think three times this year, so stay tuned. We're due one.
Are you going to say courses or not? Are you going to keep under wraps?
Under wraps.
Okay. Matt Horton has said, and this is very relatable.
I'll give one, actually.
One then.
A Dare Manor.
Nice. Matt Horton has said, why do I score 86 one week and then 107 the next?
Why do I sometimes shoot 70 then 86 myself?
Rory does it. Rory's the one I always think of. He'll go 63, 73.
It's just golf. Like, sometimes you're just not feeling it. Mm. Like, you might go off to a bad start. It might have even started before that. Your night's sleep might have been bad. You might have been stressed from work. You're carrying those stresses out onto the golf course. You suddenly have a bad hole and you just comes into it, doesn't it?
That's like, yeah. I've been wearing a whoop recently. You've not slept well. Your recovery's not great.
Yeah, I've been trying out a whoop, see how it goes.
It looks good anyway.
It's a fashion band at the moment.
It is, really.
But to be honest, do you know what my recovery was?
Go on. This isn't an advert, by the way.
You asked me the other day. What's a good recovery?
I think in the green is good. Well, green is
it's
good.
It's green, 76%.
I think that's pretty good, yeah.
Sweet.
Doesn't mean anything to us, but we've got one on.
So, yeah, where we are. It's just golf. It's what we love about golf. You can never master it.
We were saying that before. Like, again, if you... It's hard to always comment on the sports and you don't do those sports competitively, but I imagine if you are a good runner, an elite level runner, a county runner, or a very hardcore kind of casual, if that makes sense, like you probably might one day go and run a 10K in 20 minutes and then the next might be like 21. You're like, oh, what? That was a bit annoying, but it's a bit off. But God, I can't imagine you'd suddenly go out and do a 25-minute one. Do you know what I mean? With such
but
a difference.
They can have bad days, runners. Yeah, but I don't think the difference
exactly.
is
exactly. But like, if you shoot 86, you're a good level of golfer. You know, you're probably, well, roughly about
average.
Play at 14 handicap, whatever. Yeah, a bit better than average. And 107 is not great. There's obviously a 21-shot discrepancy there, which is obviously more than a shot a hole. It's a lot in it. But I think when we do play well, we probably don't give ourselves credit for how much goes right. So for me, if I play well, I don't go out of bounds, obviously. Don't lose any balls that way. I get up and down a lot. Hold the odd 30-foot drained monster putt. And like, you probably don't realise that all those things should have easily not happened. So the 30-footer might have just missed. The up and down of the bunker might have just not worked, whatever. So before you know it, you've had all the out of bounds that just stays in bounds by a foot or whatever. Could have gone out of bounds. You've almost like saved five or six shots and things going your way.
And it might even be the fact that, let's say, the bunker shot one week where you hit it quite nice and get up and down. The following week, bit of a bad lie, you leave it in the bunker.
Mm.
It takes you a couple to get out of it. You thin it through the other side of the green and suddenly that can actually add four more shots onto your score.
Exactly.
So it's golf. Unfortunately, I'd love to be able to sprinkle some magic to say this is, you'll always shoot between this score range.
But that'd be horrible. Imagine going, you can't imagine it would never happen, but I'd just try to. Imagine going playing golf tomorrow, we're teeing it up at Marriott, let's just say, and you knew that you're going to shoot between 70 and 73. Where would the fun be? The whole excitement is that I want to play well today.
I'd be like, see if I can shoot 73 driving like this. Yeah. And just that spraying everywhere.
But realistically, it would be quite boring.
It was quite interesting when we played it with James Robinson at Wallasey, and he literally said he had his D game and shot a 1-under or 2-under or whatever. It's obviously he was kind of taking the mick there, but even the best players, like, their terrible round is much worse than their best round, but it's not terrible round.
Depends, yeah, what you define as terrible. So, like, the other day, I played for me very badly at Wallace and shot 84. But I'm fully aware, to some people, that's, like, the best ever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really good score. And equally, James's bad score would be 2-over. That's, like, what I'd be made up with.
Yeah.
So there's levels to everything, isn't there? It's whatever, however good you are at golf, there's someone better, unless you're Scottie Scheffler. And, you know, there's always someone much worse who would kill for your game. So that's something to remember. Maybe you have a day where you're not... I mean, that 107, some people will be made up with that.
Yeah.
So it's always relative. This guy hasn't got a name on Twitter, so it's not a proper one. He said, what are your thoughts on current direct-to-consumer golf clubs? So direct-to-consumer, I'm sure a lot of people know, but it's when a brand literally sells from their website to you. There's no being in American Golf, there's no Clubhouse Golf. So there's more brands starting to do that. And I think actually some of the more major brands are probably wanting to do that as well because there's more profit in it for them, potentially. What do you think of them so far? There's pros and cons, isn't there, I suppose?
There is. There's a few that I've tested that have been very good. And, you know, I'm an advocate of direct-to-consumer. Often, not always, the price is a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. But you're right, some of these big brands will be going direct-to-consumer. The price will probably be just
the
same.
And they'll make more money.
The only downside I see currently is you obviously don't get to try the golf club before you use them.
Yeah.
Which often, when you're in a golf shop, at least you can hit it into a net or a simulator or whatever it is, so you can get a hit. And there's obviously limited custom fit options. Mm-hmm. But there's more custom fit options coming out recently where you can go online, you can almost fill out a chart and it'll give you the recommendations. Yeah. So I don't think it's perfect, but it's getting closer.
Yeah, I think that's one. We are seeing it in the world where, like, more brands now in all walks of life would rather go direct to consumer. Because if you think about Nike selling a pair of golf shoes, if you buy them off their website for £120, they might make £80. If you buy them off American Golf for £120, then obviously American Golf have to take their money, their margin, their profit, and then they bought it from Nike for a price. So it makes sense for the brands to sell to you directly. But it is difficult with golf, isn't it? Because, the different specs, different lofts. But I think we'll see a future soon where a lot more brands are doing it directly to people. And also they get, more money and they get your data. Ryan Link said, it's a funny question this, which is why I wanted to address it. Do you think it's fair when filming a Break 75 that you use drones to find your wayward drives? Normally, you're allowed 3 minutes to look for your ball, and in the real world, you don't have drones helping us. That could be the difference between shooting 74 and 80. So just a note on that. We do use drones on par threes. So when we hit a shot into a par three, the drone's up. So if we ever get a hole in one, not happened yet, it'd be a cool angle. And then we also use drones often to actually track the hole so that when you're watching as a viewer, you can see how the hole looks. Those drone tracking shots are normally done either before we play golf or after we've played, so not actually as we're playing because it wouldn't really work. Or we have the odd little beauty shot. But we don't actually, it'd be great if the drone did help us, but the golf ball's that small when the drone's up, you wouldn't see it anywhere, and it's that fast.
No, it doesn't make a difference whatsoever. We use it as a form of, we're not using it to find our golf ball, we're using it as a form to show the viewer a different angle from the sky.
Yeah, it'd be great if it could track the golf ball.
But also on that flip note, there's nothing stopping him.
Stopping him.
If he wants to buy a drone and look for his golf ball as he plays, he can do.
I think on that, it was kind of a bit of a, I don't think it was necessarily a dig, but I think there's not many advantages that we have in Break 75. There's maybe you could say, if there's me and you playing and somebody else, there's three of us, and there's like four or five people on the crew. So you could say you've got eight people looking for your golf ball. That's an advantage, potentially. Other than that, it's not many. But then any advantage we have got are massively outweighed by the fact that every shot you hit, 500,000 people at least are going to watch.
And you've got to narrate every shot.
Yeah. So that's something, again, people have been having a bit of a dig at me at specifically, in the Facebook group that, I'm narrating my shots to camera. And, that, you're not as good as James, you shouldn't be doing that. But what you've got to remember
is Ulrich.
Certainly James. But every golfer should be hitting a shot with purpose. Now, obviously, we've all got our own ability. So if you're off 28 and you're brand new to golf, you probably shouldn't be going to tee going par 4, 350, and hit us on the green. Because it's not going to happen, is it? Let's be honest. You've got to be realistic. But equally, a 28 handicap, I should still be thinking, there's wind off the left, and that's going to affect my shot. There's a bunker on the left, so I want to try and miss that. Or I want to try, you know, have a purpose to each golf. You'll know that as a coach, obviously. So the reason we tell the camera that, and it might get a bit boring, admittedly, if I'm talking and you don't care how I'm doing, but it's to give people an idea of what we're thinking. If I was playing a friendly round of golf with our viewers, I'm not every shot going to go, right, wind into off the left, we're going to club up to a six iron, three quarters, punch it. Because it would be boring, it'd be insane.
He turns around, so are you rolling on this? Are we going to get this? It's making a video, and I think this is, we want it to come across as natural and we want to bring you as the viewer into the screen and pop you on the golf course as if you are literally watching with us. That's kind of how we like to film it. The reality to actually film like that, you know, there is so many different moving parts, and narrating a shot or using a drone and things like that. But yeah, there's pros and cons. Otherwise, if using a drone was a massive advantage, one, we'd use it more often, and two, we'd be shooting much better scores.
What, sniffer dogs? They could smell Pro V1s.
We've used them a few times and they're pretty effective.
Yeah. Couple more.
Yeah.
Quick one from Lyndon. He said, what are Rick's goals for the end of the year score-wise? To just break 75 consistently or be like a purely scratch golfer? And also, where do you want to be at, guy?
It was funny last night. I was watching the, I forgot what it's called, Scottsdale Open.
Yeah.
Phoenix Open. And I was watching and I thought, could I? Could I do that?
What was it about Scottie Scheffler shooting like 65 that made you think you could do it? If they were shooting 78-82 and winning, fair dues. But what was it about their scores and they were playing?
I don't know
was
why.
Was it the 182 mile an hour ball speed that John Rahm was getting? Does that feel relatable to you?
I don't know why. In a few years, and a number of years, I've got a big birthday coming up, as most people have a big birthday coming up.
A big 3-9.
And I thought to myself, I wonder what I could do in the if I really, 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 really applied myself. Now, I'm already going to have a caveat to this, because I can't really, really, really apply myself. You know what I'd love, sorry, you know what I got thinking, right? As I was tidying up the bloody kids' toys last night.
You played one under par at Wallasey and things got carried away.
Watching the Phoenix Open, I thought to myself, imagine, because I read a book years ago called Dream On. It's about a tale of a guy who was a pretty average guy, average job with family. Could he shoot under par or level par in a year? Mm-hmm. And he basically dedicated his life. I won't spoil the ending. It was a really good book. I thought to myself, yeah, he had no family after it. And, like, he'd lost his job. And I thought to myself, imagine if you really did apply yourself for 4 or 5 years. Like, that's all you did. Mm-hmm. Could I break 75? I don't know why. I got dreaming. Anyway, my goals really, I want to have my worst. For me, it's not about my best scores.
I like that.
Really? Mm. Like,
your best score's good.
Yeah. If I shoot level, under par, on the occasion, I'm more than happy. For me, it's just not shooting anything more than a 77.
Yeah.
Like, if I just want to have a bad round of golf, and I literally walk off the golf course and go, that's the worst I can possibly play golf ever, and I'm writing a 77 down. Mm. That would be my dream, really. Yeah. And I think to do that, every area of my game's just got to get better.
Driving's good enough for that now, I would say.
I would say so.
I think...
I genuinely don't think I hold anywhere near enough putts.
Hit your putts very hard, I always find. I don't know if that's
and I right obviously, or not, but... I can get up and down, but I don't get up and down enough. And for the amount of shots, chances, and like I say, how well I've been driving, I just don't think I give myself enough birdie opportunities.
I feel like if I could clip my fingers and help a little bit, obviously I can't. Driving, I wouldn't even touch it. Well, obviously, if I would, if you had to, but yeah, leave driving. Irons, less overshape. I think work on three-quarter shots a bit more. Controlled shots, I think, would help massively. No real distance needed gains. Obviously, chipping is your kind of kryptonite, so a little bit more sharpening up around there. And maybe put in a bit more, like, pace control.
So everything.
Driving's okay.
But even then...
Your shoes always look really good as well. Clean echoes.
So a couple of, and again, this is an extreme example, but in America, I played at Bay Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't long enough to play at Bay Hill.
Yeah, but...
But I'm saying that's an exception.
Oh, sorry, right, yeah, okay.
But, like, I would like to have enough distance to be able to play a championship golf, like that Rockcliffe Hall in Newcastle. Mm. I wasn't long enough to play at golf course.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'd like to have that extra gear if I needed to.
170 would be nice ball speed, wouldn't it?
Cruising.
It's a nice 170.
What about yourself?
Plus five handicap.
Oh, that's
fine. Everything. How much a championship? Maybe go over to... Yeah, probably go to... Well, yeah, but that would be next year. Go to the US Am, win that, get the Masters the next year,
yeah,
play that, become friends with Tiger.
Yeah.
Probably then join the TGL.
Of course.
Going live with you. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm joining TGL.
Yeah.
Then probably quit. Did one season of TGL. Sorry, I've missed something out. TGL, then sign to Live for 15 mil. Do one season, then quit. Then have to give back 12 mil because I've quit, but keep the three. Sail off into the sunset.
Any majors in there?
Well, I'll play in the Masters, make the cut. Probably play in the Open because I'll get in after US Am. And I will.
Play all the majors.
Well, play all the majors.
Would you win then?
I wouldn't go to the USPGA and the US Open.
That's stupid thinking if you thought that.
I would probably come tied 34th in the Open. Play the last round with Harrington and Dan Gavins. Anyway, last question from Matt Smith. Hi, guy. Congratulations on the new arrival. Thank you very much. My new Scottish camera's doing very well. Thank you very much. Boom.
Bloody comedian today, you. That was good.
Yeah, thank you very much. I wasn't rehearsed to you. That was right off the cuff. This episode 200 live podcast is going to be fireworks, isn't it? Imagine us, a couple of shandies down us.
I'm going to bring in disguise Rick that goes to the Phoenix Open.
Wowzers. By the way, I think people remember that we say we're doing this now, so we probably have to do it, really.
I also said I'll play in the Open one time.
Sorry.
Joking. That was the other one. I wouldn't mind.
Oh, stop the press.
Quest for the Open again, maybe?
Wow. When next year?
No, before I'm 40.
Oh, before you're 40. What would be the objective? To actually get into the Open or get through first stage? Or
get in the Open.
Wow. What's the chances, realistically? I can see you getting on the moon before playing the Open. I can actually imagine you going to the moon.
Realistically, 0.0001%. I'll
tell you what I would, right? This is definitely true now. There's more chance, and 100% I get back this up, more chance of you going to space. on like a Virgin Atlantic thing.
Yeah, because you can just pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. So there's more chance of you going to space. There's more chance of you playing with Tiger.
I'm probably not in good enough shape to go to space. They were like, no, you need to be...
Let's think of five things there's more chance of. Playing with Tiger.
Yeah.
Going to space.
Yeah.
Buying a golf course.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Sponsoring a top 10 player in the world.
Yeah. Tiger winning the four majors. Definitely more chance of that. Anyway, sorry, Rick. You keep going, mate. Keep playing along.
Do you tell me there's a chance?
There's a... Oh, yeah. You pay your entry fee, who knows? That is the thing, back to that. That's the beauty of it, though. If you go and you play your absolute lights out, who knows?
Shoot 300 and not get through Q school.
Anyway, so this last question is from Matt Smith, and he says, when going for a fitting on a driver or any club for that matter, is it important to go with an open mind or should you have your heart set on what you want? I love that question for a couple of reasons, which I'm going to come on to. Because they're both right.
Oh.
So I, in my opinion, so what do you think? You think that you should be open-minded?
I think you should have done maybe your research.
Watch a few Rick Shields videos. Obviously. New channel coming very soon.
Plug. So you're armed with enough information. And I think you should, certainly if you're trying to stick to a budget, have a rough idea of what sort of drivers are in your budget.
Nice.
Just so you don't get, I don't want to use the word, but influenced, I'm going to use, by the fitter to buy a driver that is probably at a different price point.
Yeah.
That's all I'd say to it.
Yeah, I think I was going to say that there's two sides. I think you should be open because you never know what driver you're going to hit well. So why would you not try stuff? You may as well. But on the flip side, I think if it comes down to two and one of the ones was the one you wanted and you really wanted it, I think get that one. Because you see it sometimes, people might, let's just say you wanted a Stealth 2, right? And you went and tried it, and they said, have you tried the new Ping? And you go, no, I've not actually. Have you thought about it? Well, not really, and you tried it. Now, if the Ping massively outperforms a Stealth, then you'd be mad not to get the Ping. However, if they're a little bit close, and you're not quite sure, but then it's like, well, let's just say, oh, but the Ping, actually, my mate's got a Ping, and the fit assist is really good. Maybe she'll get the Ping, or, oh, and Rick Shields has got a Ping. Oh, but I did want the Stealth. I think go for the Stealth, because often when you want something and you don't get that one, you do feel a bit disheartened afterwards, don't you? You feel like a little, like, oh, I should have got that one. So, yeah, do both. Try others, but if you know deep down you want one and it works, go with that. Because ultimately, all the golf clubs are good. They're all good.
A plant will grow.
Now go on, let's hear it.
A plant will grow if you've planted the seed.
Is that a real thing?
Something like that. So basically, if it's your idea, you're probably going to make it grow more rather than it being someone else's idea, because you're always like, should I water that plant or should I just let it die? Anyway, on that note, thanks for listening to the 170th episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you haven't, please send any complaints to guy@complaints.com/don't bother/quest for the open. If you have got positive comments, please leave them on this video or...
Or review us on Apple. I love a little Apple review. I might write, this is just a quick call out. If you're that person, that guy, that girl, who the silent majority, I respect you, I doff my cap to you. You love the podcast, you like the podcast, you tolerate the podcast. You listen weekly, go about your business. You're just that kind of quiet guy. That's fine. I like that. If you've never reviewed the podcast on Apple, just do us a little favor and go on. 4 or 5 stars, ideally 5. Rate it and say something like, you know, like the podcast, I can tolerate the podcast, or I love the podcast. Whatever you want to say. Just say it.
I think good things will happen to you that day if you do that.
I do. I've always said that. Karma. Yeah.
I think you'll think, oh, should I leave a review? I'm not sure. And then guy, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, you know what? I will. I like the lads. I'll do one. And you leave one, you press enter, and you go, oh, I've got a nice fuzzy feeling inside.
Nothing massive will happen. Like, you're not going to suddenly change your life, but you might shut the car door and find a tenner. Like, that kind of thing could happen to you.
It could change your
life. You know what's mad? I bet statistically, one person that listens to this podcast now will go and find a tenner. Statistically, that will happen to some person. Someone statistically will get a hole in one tomorrow. Statistically speaking.
More chance than that happening than me getting in the open.
I think there's more chance of you getting 5 hole-in-ones in one round of golf.
Two of them being on par fives. Guys, thanks for listening. I'm going to go and practice and grind until my hands bleed. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. By the way, this is the first week of many, 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 many more uploads to the YouTube channels across the platform.
Yes.
So strap in, hold on to yourself, and get ready for content coming out of your ears.
Hold on to yourself where? Strap yourself in, hold on to yourself.
I said strap on. Right, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Peace. Baz, we need to go.
Very good, very witty.
1 hour 5.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.